Welcome, everybody, back to the Orange Kid Podcast, where we take big ideas of kid ministry and find practical solutions to our weekly challenges. And my name is Kellen Moore, and I'm one of the co-hosts here on this podcast. I'm here with my friendos, Miss Gina McLean.
Your friendo. I am a friendo.
You're married.
Mrs. Gina, hello. How are you guys?
Fantastic.
Good.
And Mr. Michael Clear.
Hi, Kellen. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for letting me call you Michael.
Mikael.
Is it Mikael?
It's M-I-K-A-E-L.
We learn something new every day.
German descent. Mikael Randolph Clear.
I thought you were Scandinavian.
Junior. Well, yeah. I'm going to stick with Mike so I don't mispronounce that.
Scratch that. Go back to your original name. All right.
And today we have a very special guest. I get to hang out with her at minimum once a year in Charlotte, North Carolina, where she is at currently. She is a family ministry director at Forest Hill Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, and she's wonderful. And today we're going to talk about helping parents win in the early years. Everybody give it up, because you can totally clap along at home, for Miss Paula Danielle.
Clap.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm glad you're here. I'm normally a stage person, so I guess this doesn't translate that well on podcast when you say everything first.
You know, Paula's my sister.
Whoa.
Yes.
Yeah. We're sisters.
See, and I sisters. That's right. We're learning new stuff about each other right now.
I'm the younger one.
Okay.
I didn't say that.
How did that happen? Wait, what?
Mikael and myself didn't say that.
Yeah, me and Kellen.
You always have to do whatever the older one says. And so if she says she's the younger one, then that's what it is.
Got it.
Paula.
Wait, what? How'd you just flip that? I don't know.
We are so glad you're here, and we're excited to jump in.
I'm so excited to be here with you all. This is great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
So we are still at Orange Conference. This will be our last episode, our last special episode of Orange Kids podcast live from Orange Conference.
Oh, I thought you were going to say forever. I was very sad.
Yep. Nobody's listening, so this is it. And so let's go out with a bang, guys. But no, we have been hanging out at Orange Conference all week, and we love hanging out with all of our friends from all over the country. Mm-hmm. And we've had the privilege of having some of our dear friends who we've known for a long time, who have done life with us, to come and talk to us about their ministries and what they're doing. And Paula has been here this week, and you just did a breakout. You're like fresh off the you're like fresh off the stage, coming right into here.
Energy.
So
excited.
The energy. Somebody give her a coffee or something. But you were talking about in your breakout about how to help parents win in the early years. Yeah. Right?
Yes.
So the whole idea with that, you had 3 points in your message that we want to talk about here today, and you broke them down to say we want to be able to care enough when it comes to helping parents win. We want to be care enough to listen, care enough to share, and care enough to partner. So we're going to dive deep into those 3 points.
Let's do it.
And let's go into the first one that you talked about, is we need to care enough. If we want to help parents win in the early years, we have to care enough to listen. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so care enough to listen might seem like a very elementary, no pun intended, right? Yeah. With Orange Kids podcast, but might seem like a very elementary concept that of course we listen to them. We love parents and we want to hear what they have to say, but it's very different from listening to somebody and just hearing what they have to say. Mm-hmm. And when you really listen to someone, it's not just listening to the verbiage that is coming out of their mouth, but really listening to the heart and the context of what is behind what they're saying. Mm-hmm. To care enough to say, how are you doing? How is your family doing? Where are you in life, right? Where do you live? Like we've talked about this week with It's Personal. And so caring enough to really listen to the heart of the parent. Mm-hmm. As a parent, one of the things that happens when you're parenting in the early years is that people soon forget that you are a person in and of yourself.
That's good. Yeah.
Right? You become such and such as mom, such and such dad. Mm-hmm. And can I speak to Timmy's dad? Yeah. Can I speak to Sue's mom? And you kind of lose your identity. But in those early years, I think it's really critical, if we're going to help parents win, is to remember that in and of themselves, they are a person.
Yeah.
They're a person first with their own faith that they have to navigate and grow and keep healthy, with their own emotional health, with their own physical health. And then they can pour into their kids.
Yeah.
And so if we're going to help parents win, we have to care enough to listen about how that parent is doing, not just how that kid is doing.
No. That is so on point, especially when I think about, here's one I'm guilty of as a ministry leader. I'll encounter a kid that is less than well-behaved, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Put it that way. And I, especially if I see that behavior being a trend and, you know, consistently over and over, I will, rather than stop and listen to that parent. Instead, I will make assumptions. I will tell myself a story, yeah, basically, about that parent based upon the child's behavior. And what I'm doing is I'm forgetting they're an individual, yeah, right? That has needs, that has a story themselves. And if I don't stay curious about that, then I lose sight. And inevitably, I can't help that child.
That's right.
Either, because I'm not seeing their parent as the individual that they are. That's really good. Right. It's a great reminder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great to remember that our parents are people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, when you talk about making time to listen to parents, I go in the direction of, is it a reactive thing? Is it a proactive thing? Because I know, depending on the size of your ministry and how many parents you have, you're not going to have but so much time,
yeah,
to be able. So is it a systematized thing that you do? Is it a, you know, hey, as you're picking up your kid on Sunday, or is it like, let's carve out some time during the week and have coffee, or is it a phone call, or is it like, what are some things that you do at your church?
Yeah. So it's both. It's accidental and it's systematic, strategic thing as well. Because if we don't carve it out, we'll forget.
For sure.
Yeah. And even if we are listening, if we haven't carved out a space to listen, we'll forget to implement. Mm-hmm. So then we didn't really listen, we just heard.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, gosh.
And so it's both and. One of the best companies I think that has mastered this idea of listening is Disney World.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Disney World is so fantastic and values the opinions of the families that they serve so much that they've set up what they call listening pods. Mm-hmm. Intentional spaces to get feedback from the families that they serve. Mm. And I think the church could learn from that, because we have very practical places to get feedback if we're intentional about it,
yeah,
as well as places that we can institute to get feedback if we're intentional about it.
So
some of your practical listening pods are drop-off times and pick-up times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially if you're listening to how the parent feels in the moment, which is oftentimes the busiest time on Sunday.
Yeah.
If somebody is around just to listen to the conversations that aren't being had, then that is a great listening pod spot. Mm-hmm. No matter how small or how big your church is, whether your children's ministry is staffed by paid staff or by volunteers, another critical point to set up a listening pod is parent phone calls every single week. Mm-hmm. Parent phone calls and actually scheduling them into your calendar.
Okay.
Because our weeks get busy. And before we know it, Sunday is here again.
Yeah.
And so like we would schedule any other meeting or appointment, then you schedule that 10-minute phone call with that parent. Mm. And when you call them for a listening, I would ask them three specific questions. I would ask them, how are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would ask, how is your child doing? Mm. And then I would ask, how are we doing?
Got it.
And I would really focus in on almost pushing them to answer each question.
Mm. Yeah.
Because a parent's tendency, if they're talking to you and they know you want to listen, they automatically assume you're calling about their kid, which is great.
Yeah.
But your first question is, how are you doing?
Yeah.
That's going to take your parent partnership to another level and get them to buy in.
So when you make those calls, you say you schedule them into your week, like how do you go through and filter out like, okay, I'm going to do 5 calls this week, or I'm going to try to get everybody this week, or I'm going to like, what process do you go through systematizing that?
I do 3.
3 a week.
I do 3 a week.
No, that's great. Okay.
I do 3 a week.
Yep.
Because
I was thinking you were doing like all of them. I was like, oh my gosh, that's a lot of time on the phone.
No, I do 3 calls a week. And that is not strategic, right? It could be somebody I ran into that Sunday. Mm, it could be somebody, a small group leader told me, hey, you might want to check in with this parent. It could be some kid who's having a birthday. I do 3 a week because nothing travels faster like people's word of mouth.
Yeah.
And so if you're calling parents 3 a week, those parents are talking to other parents about them getting a phone call from you. Yeah. So you don't have to do a lot.
No, totally.
You just have to do 3 a week. That lets people know you care.
I love that.
I love it. And I love that it's a phone call. Because like if you were to send me an email to say, hey, help us learn, I don't have the time to write that out. I would rather, and I feel like you hear me in a different way when you call me as opposed to reading my email.
That's right. It's personal and get somebody on the phone.
Yeah.
No,
and it's
so
unique
good.
Because that's not normal today.
And that's not normal. That's countercultural. Yeah. Like to be like, why are you calling me? Like you said, my first instinct would be my kid did step. My kid messed up somehow, and I'm sorry.
Right.
I would answer the phone and say, I'm sorry.
But it ties back to what you were saying about listening. When you call someone and you talk to them, you can hear tone, you can hear inflection, you can hear the size.
So that's
you can hear the, oh, Johnny's good.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to ask you again. Tell me. How's right. Johnny doing?
Right.
You can hear it. That's opposed right. to an totally. Email where it's like, you know, we're good and there's this and you're just kind of typing it out.
That's so right.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Well, I love that. Caring enough to listen mm-hmm. is a great way to help parents win earlier. So the second point you talked about is care enough to share. So talk to us about that.
Yeah, care enough to share what we know about their child today, mm-hmm. what we know about their child right now, and what we know is going on in our environment. So we want to share three different things. You don't want to be a hoarder of the information. Mm-hmm. Okay, so... Yeah.
Don't want to be a hoarder, period.
Don't want to be a hoarder, no, period.
That's right.
Definitely not of the information.
Specifically not of the information. Yeah, on Sunday, it again, going the extra mile to let that parent know that mm-hmm. we care about them and the relationship that they have with their child. And so what happened with that child that day, mm-hmm. little things that go a long way, one of the most impactful things that I institute at churches when I'm coaching or working are diaper stickers.
Mm. Ooh, that's yep. good.
People underestimate the importance of yep. a well-placed diaper sticker.
Yeah.
because that infant can't tell you the last time they were changed. Yeah. Or the toddler who's like not, they're kind of potty training, but not maybe. Yeah, and if yeah. you have a diaper potty sticker and can use that as a reward, that totally is on that parent's side so yeah. that their child is still potty training when they're yeah. out of that parent's presence.
Yep.
So a well-placed diaper sticker on the diaper, on the shirt of a toddler, on the diaper of an infant will go far with yeah. your parents yeah. and it communicates as well. As they get a little bit older, another great way to partner with parents and share the information to help them win in the early years mm-hmm. are daily reports. Hmm. They don't have to be long. They don't have to right. be extensive. What was Johnny's mood? Did Johnny eat snack? Did he play with other people? Like they just want to know, was their kid okay
yeah.
while they weren't with you? Another way to share the information is I don't believe in wasting crafts. If you're going to do a craft, do an intentional craft because popsicle sticks,
mm-hmm. yeah.
they add up.
Yeah, they do. That's true.
In some places, you can't store them. Portable churches, you can't keep storing
yeah. stuff.
Yeah.
So put the label on the popsicle stick. Mm-hmm. Then the parent can go over with the memory verse at home. It's just all about ways to get the information to the yeah. parent so the parent can continue yeah. the information with the child. And then not just how they did that day or what we're doing that day, but how is your child doing? Mm. As they go into elementary school, kids begin to talk less and less and less.
Yeah.
And so the relationship with the small group leader, when done well, can serve as a bridge for when the child may or may not be talking to the parent.
Yeah. Mm.
So when divorce happens, the child may or may not be talking to the parent at home.
Sure.
The small group leader can step in and be that bridge and say, hey, this is what they said today.
Mm.
Hey, I know you thought that they were doing well, but this came up today and you might want to flesh it out some
yeah.
more. Mm-hmm. Did you know that your daughter was being bullied at school? Mm. Did you know? So sharing the information with the parents so that they can be engaged when the child may or may not yeah. be talking at home.
Mm.
So you got to care enough to share that.
Yeah. Now I love, man, gosh, you can spend so much time
right.
on those questions. I wrote those down as you were speaking about sharing the information of what are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing as far as this is what we're teaching, this is what we're doing, the popsicle
yes.
stick, the memory verse, and then how are they doing?
Yes.
And just mm-hmm. like, gosh, I was hearing that through the filter of a parent first rather than a ministry leader. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? Because I was like, I would love to be a part of a church that was that intentional, thinking through that process and how mm-hmm. they can communicate that information. It's so good.
I think what I am curious about is, Paula, how do you, when I look at my small group leaders, maybe in elementary, who they have this opportunity to share that information, and we're as leaders, we want to invite them to do that. How do you equip them to share that information in a way that is life-giving to the parent? Because I can imagine maybe a well-intentioned small group leader sharing something with me as a parent that might feel like I've done something wrong or I've missed as a parent. Is there a way that you coach them through just to help them to maybe frame what they're going to share so that it's helpful and doesn't potentially offend?
Yes. I love coaching sessions during huddles.
Okay. Mm.
In the morning, before Sunday, before everyone goes to their spots,
yeah.
I will often pick a topic and say, Jenny's mom is going through a divorce.
Mm.
Let's act it out. Ready, go. And we'll brainstorm as a group of
yeah.
small group, big kid leaders.
Yeah.
What can you say if Jenny's mom is going through a divorce?
Yeah.
I'm really bad at names, y'all. I don't know any 21st century names. I'm dating myself.
Zachariah.
Zachariah's dog died. Zachy.
Let's call Zachy. Zachy's
friend just moved.
Yeah.
How can we address this with the parent? So role play is one, so that they're not caught off
guard.
That's
really good.
So that they're not caught off. And huddles are quick, right? So it's not an all-day thing. Real quick, real fun, everybody's putting in. The other thing that I like to do is I have conversations, or my coaches have conversations with inexperienced small group leaders the first couple of times they do it.
Yeah.
And this is why having coaches in your ministry are so important, because you cannot be everywhere as a ministry leader on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So you need coaches to step in and have those initial conversations that might come up, so that you're really training people on the job.
Yeah.
I'm all for like once a year or twice a year trainings, but we all know if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah.
And so on the job training seems to stick a little bit more than you know, long days that you might not use for another 6 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I love the idea of that, because, of course, we talk about how in the art of group talk, one of the best things you do as a small group leader is imagine how the conversation's going to go. That's a great way to prepare, is imagine. And that's really what you're doing, is you're giving them a very real-life situation, and you're giving them space to quickly role-play and imagine how could that conversation go. That's really smart. Mm-hmm. I'm stealing that.
No, that's good.
And it's on my
and this is something in your training that your small group leaders are on the lookout for every week. It's like, hey, as you're leading your conversation, I want you to be on the lookout for this one thing that we can share. Like, everybody knows, come that drop-off pickup time, we're sharing something. Is that accurate?
There are times when I'm intentional about reminding them to share things.
For sure.
Yeah,
because people forget.
For sure.
Absolutely. Yep. Easily.
And so if I haven't mentioned it in, you know, several weeks, hey, make sure you pick one kid you can share something about with that parent today when they pick them up.
That's great. So you're saying, even in your group, you're saying not your whole group. Pick one kid.
Pick one kid.
Okay, that's good.
Pick one kid.
Because I was trying to think okay, I got 12 kids.
Yeah. No.
And I got to figure out how to do that, and then that's
but
a lot.
You just narrow it down to something that's reasonable.
One kid.
Yeah. I love the practicality is what I love about it. Helping a parent win in the early years, you're giving, these are such practical steps to let a parent know you're doing a good job.
You are.
Yeah. You're on the right track. And isn't that what we need as a parent? Man, I'm parenting teenagers right now. Girl, I need plenty of people to tell me you're doing a good job, because I'm not sure.
Parents need affirmation, and so we can't tell them enough
that
you're doing a good job, and we appreciate you. And we appreciate you, because there would be no families to serve if parents didn't bring their kids to church.
True.
So even if
even if
you know, you get the difficult kid and it's hard to appreciate, like, what appreciate at least God, they're bringing that child to church and giving you an opportunity to even do what God has called you to do.
If your church, I'm assuming at one point in everyone's church you've had at least one parent say, hey, you know, my kid wakes me up every morning like they're excited to come to church. We're a newer church, so we get that quite frequently because it's different and I'm different. I do things a little bit different than the churches in the area. But when I hear parents say that to me, I quickly, and this goes alongside affirming parents, I quickly turn it back to the parents. I'm like, thank you for listening to your kids.
Yes.
Thank you for hearing something that they love to
That's really good.
Just
swap
it. Because the parents are like, yay, church. But then you're like, yeah, we're doing our job. But yay, you for bringing them here.
That's right.
Therefore,
they can't drive.
I like the inherent celebration of that. Yeah, the inherent, because I can miss that. You know, I'm just, to me, it's self-serving for me to find a place where my kids want to go, right?
Yes.
Yep. So it feels self-serving. And what you're telling me is, no, actually, I'm just listening
to
them.
You're being a good
parent. Thank you. Yeah. There you go.
Good job, Gina.
You're doing great, Gina.
Doing
great. I needed that. Thank you, guys. That feels good.
Okay, so some great stuff, Paula. Care enough to listen. Care enough to share. And then your last point you made here is care enough to partner.
So partnering with parents in the last few years has become a really nice catchphrase. Yeah. And we hear it a lot. Yeah. It is everywhere.
Yep. Yeah.
It cannot be overstated how important it is. But partnering with parents is more than just giving parents information.
Yeah.
Mm. Partnering with parents is a two-way street that says, how can we do this together? Mm-hmm. It's not, how can I help you?
Yeah.
Or how can you help me? but how can we help each other? And really understanding and respecting the different roles that adults play in a child's life. And so partnering takes it one step past sharing to say, no, I really need you, and I recognize that you might need me too, to be there to help your child and to help you win as a parent. Parents do not feel like they're winning when their child feels like they're failing. So you cannot say, I'm helping parents win, and you're not helping kids win.
So here's what I would say is that, you know, what you said, I totally agree with. But I, as a parent, I am for anyone who is for my kid. You're saying that it's not just the church saying, I need you, or me saying, we need each other. And I know educationally, I need a teacher who's going to invest in my kid. And when you invest in my kid, I'm going to invest back in you, but I'm going to, I just need somebody who cares. That cares enough to listen to my kid, cares enough to share, cares enough to be in that. And I think we get that from teachers and an educational side. We get that from coaches on the sports side, like investment. We get that from, you know, whatever it may be, the other voices outside. And the same is true with church.
Yes.
When it comes to the faith component, it's like whether the parent is a believer or not a believer, I don't care where you're at on that spectrum, you need help.
That's right.
Whether you've grown up in church and grown up in faith, the things that our kids are dealing with today are things that we are not equipped to deal with. And so I need a champion on my side. I need somebody to help say, hey, we don't know it either, but together
we'll figure this thing
out together to do that. So no, I love what you said Okay, so this has been really, really good stuff. Lot to process, lot to chew on here. So as always on the podcast, we like to take these big ideas that we could spend a lot more time talking about, but kind of whittling it down to the practical. What would I do this week with what you just said? What would you suggest? Like, what would be the one or two things that anybody listening out there that they could say, whether we have some sort of partnership with parents already going on in our ministry, or whether we're starting from scratch, or we're somewhere in the middle of trying to figure it out, what's one thing that you would suggest, one or two things you would suggest that they can do this week?
Yeah. So the first thing I would do is I would, for your volunteers, go ahead and try to enact that role play.
Got it.
The role play suggestion, and come up with a suggestion to do during your huddle time and have them discuss it out, role play it out, talk it out, how it can go to have a conversation with a parent at pickup. And then on the parent side, go ahead and make a couple phone calls. Just in case all of our people who are nervous about the phone, just start off with one.
One call, I can
just
do that.
Just one call, rip off the Band-Aid and make the call. I promise it will be okay. But your parents will appreciate you reaching out to them. So those are two things you can do this week, one on the volunteer side, one on the parent side, in order to help parents win in the early years.
And I think that that huddle time is important. And there may be people listening to this, Paula, who would be like, what's a huddle? What's
good
it like?
Point.
And the importance of your huddle time, you would say, you know, and I don't know how long yours is it a 10-minute huddle or 5-minute huddle? Getting people to church early, especially your volunteers, like, you're thankful when they're just there, but to get them there early, the importance of getting there, whether you have to bribe them with donuts or food whatever you can do, but just to have that 5 or 10 minutes to catch your breath, cast vision, pray for the day, just say, here's our bottom line, here's our big idea, here's what we're going to talk about today. And I just want to encourage you guys as you go in and you give the final marching orders to do that.
Yes.
That is so huge. So if you're not doing that, do that. And when you're in your huddle time, what a great first exercise you could do in role-playing out situations, because that will just help them in their small group time leading those conversations to do that. So I think that's great. And then on the phone call side, there might be people who would be like, I haven't used a phone in 2 years. You know, like I text and I'm Instagram or whatever. But I feel like when you're sitting there saying, you know, just make one phone call. And my guess is people on listening to this podcast, if you just say, God, who should I call this week to do that? You will be so surprised how that name will come to you just like that. That conversation will probably be the most timely conversation on the other end for that person. And yeah, I love it. Just one phone call. And I think when they experience the power of that, and again, it's not going to like instantaneously change your ministry.
Right.
But it's a great first step, and the relational equity you'll build in that person you are calling. It could completely change it, you know?
Yes.
I mean, can imagine that having a cumulative effect, right? Because parents talk to other parents.
That's what it is.
I just had a meaningful conversation with Paula, And then I'm talking to Kellen going, man, Paula called me. And that was, that conversation is everything that I needed that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that has a cumulative effect over time. And what it does is it, I would suggest that it builds trust
yes.
with the parents in your ministry, because what it says is this is a space where somebody cares.
That's it. Yeah. And it's a space where somebody cares, and I just don't care about you coming to me on Sunday
Gosh,
morning.
Dang, that's good.
Yeah.
I care enough to come to you during the week.
Yeah.
So
that's really profound. Thank you.
That's so true. So. Well, you know, partnering with parents is a huge thing that, like you said earlier, it's I don't say it's the buzzword, it's what everybody's doing, but it's the heartbeat of what Orange has tried to fight for over a decade now, however long it's been. And we use the analogy of, you know, it's important that you figure out how to partner with parents because we have a limited amount of time with these kids that God has entrusted to us, and with church attendance all over the map. And the new normal of frequency attendance is 1 to 2 times a month, which when you do the math, you're only going to get about maybe 30 to 40 hours a year with these kids to tell them everything you want to do that. On the flip side, parents have around 3,000 hours of potential influence. And like you said, it's like, instead of saying, I need this from you as a parent, or the parent saying, I need this from you as a church, let's meet together. Let's care enough together to be able to listen to each other, to be able to share what's going on with each other, and to be able to partner with each other for the sake of this kid. Thank you for what you do, not just at your church and fighting for the partnership, but helping other churches and coaching and all that and being a champion, being here at Orange Conference and sharing your heart on the stage to do that. It's awesome.
It's always great to be with Orange and to be with my friends. Kellen and
Mikael.
And my girl Gina.
And your little sister Gina.
It's always great. My little sister. Yeah, she
little
is
sister.
My little yes, sister.
You are a petite human. Yeah. So that's
my little sister Gina.
You
it's
are
always
a petite
great. Thanks
human.
For having me.
Thank you, Paula. And thank you, Gina. Thank you, Kellen. And thank you, listeners, for hanging out with us. And we want to encourage you to stop by the orangekidmen.com site, and there you'll find not just access to this podcast that you're listening to, but you'll find access to resources and blogs and all sorts of other things that will hit on what we've talked about here today as far as partnering with parents to help them win. And we will always say this to say, hey, however you're listening to us on this podcast, whether it's the Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Google Play, please leave us a review, give us a like. When you do that, that really does help spread the word for this podcast. So thanks for hanging out. Paula, thanks again. And this is it from Orange Conference 2019. So, Kellen, take us out with a little ditty.
It's the two of us. We can make it if we try. It's the two of us. Volunteers and parents.
I thought you were talking about us.
Oh, no. I was going with the theme.
I was way off on that one.